Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to today's Solar Pack First Quarter 2019 Midterm Financial Presentation conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday, the 14th of May, 2019. Now I would like to hand the conference over to your speakers today, Pablo and Maria Burgos. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Solar Pack's Midterm Q1 2019 Results presentation. My name is Pablo Burgos, CEO of the company, and I'm sitting with Javier Arellano, Investor Relations with Solar Pack, and Maria Burgos, CFO of the company. This is our first midterm presentation after being listed back in December 2018, and we have selected relevant and comprehensive information to understand what has happened during this period in the company. Our conference call will be split between a presentation and a Q&A session that will come after. Total duration of this conference call will be 45 minutes maximum. The presentation we will review this morning is available for download in our website and has been also uploaded to the CNMV website. If we can first move to page number two, we will see the disclaimer that governs this presentation. Please read it after the call if you haven't yet. Page number three contains the index of what we are going to discuss today. We will start with a brief review to the key milestones, then we will have an operations update. Javier, our Investor Relations, will guide us through the financial review, and I will finalize with the outlook, both short-term and long-term. After the presentation, we will start a Q&A session. Please follow the instructions you have received while registering for this call in order to place questions. We will be more than happy to answer them. In the document that we have filed, you can also find an appendix with additional information like our consolidated balance sheet and income statement. Moving on to page number four, we want to highlight the key milestones for the period. Since the last earnings call, we have achieved a new set of 193 MW projects under construction, moving our total to 337 MW in this condition. New additions to under construction status have been our projects in Spain, Monclova and Grullas, for 112 MW, and our KA2 project in India for an additional 81 MW. All the build and own projects disclosed in our IPO are now under construction. As a second milestone for the period is progress in our KA2 project in India, split into items. First item is the relevant milestone in terms of financing achieved with lender Tata CleanTech for providing 1.9 billion rupees in senior debt to the 81 MW that are already under construction. Second item is the decision to reduce the size of our KA2 project in India from 131 MW to 81 MW in order to reduce execution risk from their PPAs, which are demanding in terms of the milestones for achieving project completion. This reduction in backlog is within the expected failure rates of circa 10% we have communicated to the market in our IPO process. Third milestone are our figures for the quarter, pretty much in line with expected numbers from our side. DEVCON has reached operating revenues of 8.4 million euros and a negative EBITDA of 0.6 million euros. We will later see these results and how we expect them to evolve in the next quarters. Power generation, has obtained solid results with operating revenues of 7.1 million euro and a 6.3 million euro EBITDA. Finally, our services unit has achieved operating revenues of 1.1 million euros and an EBITDA of 0.3 million euros. Our fourth highlight is the evolution of our projects portfolio. We have had an intense activity in project development with new additions to our pipeline and identified opportunities in USA and Spain mainly. Total number of new megawatts in the quarter is close to 2 GW, putting our total number of projects to 5 GW in various stages. As for the backlog, we did not have new additions during this period. Let's start with our operations update, moving to page number six. Here we see our numbers in Power Gen division, pretty much the same as they were in the last quarter. We have achieved an attributable EBITDA of 6.3 million euros in this division, with our Spanish asset acquisition fully on board. Our attributable gross capacity reaches 141 MW, and we expect this to grow significantly during 2019, with the additions coming both from our backlog and potentially from additional opportunities to acquire assets that are accretive for our business plan. We want Solar Park to become a reliable generator of EBITDA on the basis of its Power Gen segment, and we are positive in growing our asset base with organic growth and opportunistic acquisitions. Please turn the page to number seven. We want to share with you details about movements in our project portfolio. Main items here are the start of construction activities in 193 MW of projects and the significant additions to our portfolio of pipeline and identified opportunities. Construction activities are underway for a total of 337 MW in Spain, Chile, and India. We have recently connected to the grid 11 MW in Chile, and our construction teams are managing activities in seven different sites across these territories. New additions are the Grullas and Monclova projects in Spain, which take part in the 2017 Spanish tender for renewables. Also, three sites in Karnataka, India, have started construction activities, all of them with the goal to start generating power in the last quarter of the year. But in addition to construction activities, our project development group is working hard in adding new projects to our portfolio, and within these last 3 months, net additions to our pipeline have been 346 MW, a majority of which are in the USA, 280. Also, 19 MW in Spain have achieved pipeline status, bringing our total pipeline number to 1.5 GW. We are working hard to close offtake arrangements in order to move these pipeline projects to backlog category. Looking at the identified opportunities, we have added 850 MW of new projects in Spain into this category, intensifying our development activities in this market once our backlog projects have matured and moved into under construction phase in a majority. Globally, 1.66 gigawatts of net additions to identified opportunities have been achieved during the last 3 months. Page number eight gives a more detailed view on the movements to the portfolio, which I'm not going to reiterate too much. Please turn to page nine for a detailed evolution of the project development and current status as of May 10, 2019. Key updates are, first, we have already achieved credit approval from one bank within the syndicate for the up to 53 million euros senior debt in Grullas and Monclova projects. Due diligence is in progress, looking positive, and both projects are already under construction. Second, a very positive milestone to the KE2 project is the achievement of final sanction letter from Tata CleanTech for financing 1.9 billion rupees in these 81 megawatts, and also the start of construction in all three sites. As we have already highlighted, we have scaled down the Indian KE2 project to 81 megawatts in three sites, and the remaining two sites will be transformed and reoriented to capture opportunities in the private PPA sector in Karnataka, moving to pipeline status at this stage. Now, Javier Arellano, in charge of investor relations with Solar Park, will guide you through the financial review. Javier, please.
Thank you, Pablo. On the financial side, please know that we are not showing Q1 2018 figures since these were not published at the time in the IPO. From next quarters onwards, we will show the year-to-date figures in order to be able to compare year-on-year evolution. If we now move to slide 11, we will first look at the segment information non-GAAP, which helps us to better understand the performance of the different business units and the cash generation. Overall, we see an incremental power gen EBITDA contribution in Q1 2019, with 27% growth over the previous quarter, due to having the Spanish assets fully on board for the whole period. On DEFCOM, we see a negative EBITDA due to the construction stage of the projects, although we expect this to change significantly in the following quarters. Although construction is underway, earnings and EBITDA are mainly booked when shipment of main equipment and heavy construction activities occur, and this is mostly happening in the next Q2 and Q3 quarters. In Q1 2019, engineering and initial low-value site preparation activities took place. Looking at the sum of the segments in the lower chart, which shows the quarter-on-quarter trend, we see that the revenues trend continues to be positive as we move forward in the execution of our backlog. If we please move on to slide 12 and diving into our DEFCON segment, we see that the construction activities continues in Q1 2019 with gross margins in line with the status of the construction activities. Please note the difference between the percentage of gross margin in Q1 2019 and Q4 2018, which is due to accounting of different DEFCON contracts, mainly development in Q4 2018 versus EPC contracts in Q1 2019. Regarding the segment highlights, again, and as Pablo mentioned, 193 megawatts have moved from backlog to under construction in Spain and India. On KA2, we have scaled down to reduce execution risk in two of the sites out of the total five that comprise the projects. And these two sites have become pipeline and will be used to address CNI opportunities in the state of Karnataka. Other than that, the project has started construction and obtained final sanction from TARA, as Pablo already covered. Also, we have obtained credit approval from one of the banks in the syndicate for Monclova and Grullas, as Pablo mentioned as well. And regarding the under construction and backlog projects, the only update is that we are moving 24 megawatts back one quarter, Panimavia and Kinantu, both build and sell, for reasons linked to delay in final permits. Overall, the business plan with which we went public continues to become a reality, and as Pablo mentioned, we are still above the 90% probability of completion for the backlog we had in our IPO. If we please move to slide number 13. On power gen, we have now the 141 megawatts of attributable capacity generating during the whole Q1 2019, which translates into operating revenues of €7.1 million and an EBITDA of €6.3 million. This represents a 30% and a 20% growth, respectively, versus the previous quarter. Attributable energy generation in Q1 2019 has been 73 gigawatts. As for the lower EBITDA margin in Q1 2019, this is due to the provision we have made in revenues in Spain, where we have reduced said revenues in an amount equivalent to the 7% generation tax abatement, since the remuneration parameters in Spain will be adjusted in the next coming periods to deduct the 6 months avoided tax. In a nutshell, the temporary 7% tax abatement is neutral to our EBITDA in this segment and IFRS accounts. As for our portfolio quality measures, contracted revenues remain at 94%, and Power Gen Plus Services operating revenues in hard currencies account for 68% of the total operating revenues for the two segments. If we please move to slide 14. On services, megawatts under O&M remain at 160. These numbers still does not consider the 10.5 megawatts put in operation in Colombia in the previous quarter, whose O&M contract will kick start shortly. As for the megawatts under AMS, we have moved out some non-strategic contracts as part of our strategy to focus fundamentally on managing own projects, and serviced megawatts in this period have come down to 302 megawatts. This number will grow as more backlog megawatts come online in the next quarters. So if we please now move to slide 15. Finally, if we take a look at IFRS numbers, we see that the Q1 2019 shows increasing weight from power gen activity. Operating revenues in this quarter account for €4.7 million of changes in inventories made of build and sell projects under construction. On the EBITDA side, IFRS only shows consolidated power gen, consolidated services, and corporate expenses, given that all projects under construction during the period are either build and own, Granja, for example, or build and sell projects that book margin upon transfer to client. These are mainly Trikaue and Bellavista, which has not occurred yet. This is particular to the Chilean PMGD projects to be built this year, but not for the rest of build and sell projects. It is important to note that once the reasonable rate of return is confirmed in Spain, we'll be able to review our financial models and most probably activate tax credits that will have an impact in the bottom line. Please note that the new IFRS 16 rules have been applied to our P&L and balance sheet. We already had some lease agreements in the form of public concessions recorded as liability and assets, but now we have all the lease agreements in plants under construction or in operation with such treatment as required by IFRS 16. So, Pablo, over to you.
Hello again. Please turn to page 17 for a quick review of our outlook. Main message here is that we are keeping the same targets which we highlighted during our IPO process, except for the range of project finance debt needs that we expect in the execution of our build and own projects. The reduction of two sites in the Indian KA2 projects is the main reason for such reduction, and we have also narrowed the range. We now stand in the 150 to 155 million euro range of project finance debt to be disbursed once these 316 megawatts are in operation. Equity needs are in the same range of 60 to 65 million euros. And with respect to development and construction gross margin, in the execution of all our backlog projects, both build and own and build and sell, we keep our outlook for gross margin in the range of 14.5 to 17.5. When looking long term, we also keep our targets, which are split, as you most probably know, into the following. In our power gen division, the levered equity IRRs between 9 and 10% for projects denominated in hard currencies and 12 to 15% for projects denominated in soft currencies. In our DEFCON division, we expect gross margins to be in the range of 10 to 15% long-term and run rates of between 150 to 300 megawatts of projects completed every year by this division. Also, other KPIs of our power generation and services divisions are, first, at least 70% of contracted revenues in our power gen division, and second, 66% of our combined power gen and services revenues denominated in hard currencies. Well, that was all from our side related to the presentation. Thanks for your attention, and we can now move forward to the Q&A session. Both our CFO, Maria, Javier, and myself will be happy to address your question. Priscilla, please, let's go to questions.
Thank you so much. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we will begin the question and answer session. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Please stand by while we compile the Q&A queue. They will only take a few moments. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And once again, please press star 1 if you wish to ask a question and the hash key if you want to cancel your request. And the first question comes from the line of Sanchez Bordona from CaixaBank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. This is Gonzalo Sanchez Bordona from CaixaBank BPI. Thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions on the portfolio of projects. The first one would be I've noticed that the Panima Vida and Quinantu projects in Chile have moved in the execution calendar from the third to the fourth quarter. I'm just wondering why is that, and if you foresee any risks of the other projects. I'm assuming all the projects that are already in construction have very good visibility on delivery, but if Alvarado and these two projects, they could see further delays and why. The second question would be on the identified opportunities that you have added in Spain, which is quite huge. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit more what kind of projects are you looking at and what are your expectations in terms of, if it is PPAs, if you have expectations on some further auctions or things like that, or what kind of projects do you have in mind? Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Gonzalo. This is Pablo. Okay, on the portfolio of projects, as we said in the presentation, these two projects have been extended one quarter due to final permits being approved. Given that we are under an agreement with a third party, we need to fulfill a very extensive list of permits. We are in a position to start construction, but not from our contractual side, so that's why we have extended one quarter. We reiterate our forecast to the Alvarado project, which for the delays we announced in the previous call, there has been a positive development, as you can see in the detailed list of projects. And we expect the second 50 megawatts of the Alvarado project to finalize their public hearings tomorrow, 15. And we should be in a position to start construction in a couple of months' time and fulfill the forecast of Q1 2020. Regarding new projects in Spain, the majority of these projects are big projects in the range of between 50 to 250 megawatts, with requests to get interconnection and bonds posted. And in the terms of offtake arrangements, we are in a few processes. One of them, we are in final stages and hopefully to be awarded, but let's see how this evolves. And if we have relevant news on that front, we will convey to the market. We expect tenders, maybe not within this year necessarily, but for sure during next year. And we also should see probably a tougher process for developers to ask for interconnection and for development of their projects, given the high saturation of requests in the system right now. We believe that this will be in favor of players of the size and the financial capacity like SolarPack.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And the next question comes from the line of Jorge Guimaraes, from GB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three. Firstly, there were no additions from pipeline to backlog. It's just a matter of timing or something went out of track. Secondly, you are reducing your project finance needs, but you are keeping your equity needs unchanged despite you having lower capacity under construction. Any reason for that? And finally, if you can just elaborate on this answer you gave to Gonzalo. You say that the system is very saturated currently and that favors companies from your size. Could you consider taking opportunity of projects not being developed, like buying connection permits, projects in different stages of development, and so forth. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jorge. Correctly, there are no additions from pipeline to backlog. We didn't expect necessarily any addition being made in this quarter. Our project with a clear forecast to move into this section is the Alentron EPC contracts. We believe we should expect some development there in the next few months, but we are focusing on the second half of this year to start getting contracts in the form of a PPA, awarding tenders, or even sale purchase agreements or EPC contracts for third parties. So we will focus in that area mostly in the second half of the year, third and fourth quarters. You noted well that there is a reduction in the project finance needs, not a huge one. We also have narrowed the range, but not in the equity. Of course, equity also has some additional risk to project finance in terms of any cost overrun that could happen. And here we have obtained in some of the projects slightly lower leverage than was forecasted, and also a bit less investment level as expected, but we believe that the range of 60 to 65 million euros in equity is safe enough to account for any cost overrun that would require adding more equity to the projects. As you have seen, we have narrowed the gap in the project finance needs from 10 million to 5 million because we are in the last phases of due diligence and we can now estimate much better how much we expect to raise finally in each project. For related to your third question, as you said, the system is quite saturated with requests. We will see probably new rules in the near future to put some order here. We are not going to the market to buy assets intensively. We believe that the price we see in the market is not would not add a lot of value to Solarpack. Nevertheless, we are discussing several joint venture agreements with local developers to make a quick combination between their development in projects and our capacity to move them forward to construction phase.
Thank you. And the next question comes from the line of Jorge from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning to everybody. I have still a couple of questions regarding India. Is there any kind of a penalty because you are not going to develop the projects awarded there? When can we expect the sites? So the new optionality that you are thinking about on those sites. Finally, any view about the potential cost, full cost for the megawatts to be developed in Spain in the future? I'm talking about probably the 2020-2021 due precisely to the acceleration in the interconnection. So maybe projects farther away from the interconnection line that would mean much higher costs. Not for you, or you are perceiving that your competitive advantage can increase versus many others because that would be a disadvantage for newcomers of other projects with big size that should be far away from the interconnection line. And finally, if you view any change in your financial cost or the cost of the debt. Due to the new interest rates levels, at least in Europe, or if you have felt something as well in other geographies. Thank you.
Thank you, Jorge. This is Javier. So for your first question, the maximum penalty under the PPA that the two sites have is basically 35 million rupees, which is 440,000 euros, roughly. Of course, we will try, you know, to avoid this penalty or to reduce it as much as possible. But you know that is the maximum exposure we have on those two projects. And regarding the new options for these two sites, we have identified the potential opportunities in C&I PPAs with private industrial clients in the state of Karnataka. So we believe that having these two sites to address those opportunities could bring value aside from the tenders, you know, that are typically held from utilities in India.
Jorge, this is Pablo. Maybe taking the second question about the full cost. On the main components, we are seeing some stagnation in the cost reduction of modules because of tensions in the Chinese market. But, you know, as any commodity market, we will see ups and downs here. We will have this week Intersolar Fair, which will give to the market a good light on what we should expect for 2020. But this is more or less the status in this market. And regarding interconnections, as you said, I believe that we are generally moving into projects with a higher volume, and the saturation of the system does not necessarily mean that we will have additional interconnection costs. In our view, a key competitive element here will be setting up the projects in good sites. Land is increasingly a more challenging aspect of the development. First, to be close to interconnection facilities, and second, given the increasing size of land plots required to build these big megawatt facilities. And finally, on the cost of debt, we have seen some reductions in the long-term interest rates that make the base of the interest rate swaps we signed for the debt facilities, both in the Granja project and in the Spanish projects. Not very significant, but slightly less than what we expected. And in the Indian projects, we have more or less, as expected, maybe slightly higher interest rate. But in this case, it would be a variable interest rate. So no big shifts there in the cost of debt, in the base rates. And in the margins, they are fully in line with what we expected to complete our cost of debt.
Okay, thank you. And once again, please, if you wish to ask a question, press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And the next question comes from the line of Jorge Guimaraes from GB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi again. Sorry, just a follow-up question on Jorge's question on CapEx costs. Could you elaborate a bit further on what is your average CapEx cost currently in Spain? Is it already below 500,000 euros per megawatt? Many thanks.
If we take into consideration all of the CapEx components, meaning including interconnection and all the medium voltage and low voltage facilities, the full CapEx for the project, for the EPC part of the project, we are slightly above 50 euros per watt for trackers and below for fixed tilt systems. So it depends on the technology you are using.
Thank you so much. And there is no further questions at the time, so please go ahead. Please go ahead. We have some technical difficulties. Please stand by while we compelling. Thank you for waiting and sorry for the delay. Please go ahead.
So I understand you could not hear our answer to Jorge Guimaraes' question. Is that right?
Yes, I assume that's right, yeah.
Okay, good. So Jorge, on the CapEx, what we see, and you know, to be precise on what we include here as CapEx or not, what we see as EPC costs, including all interconnection facilities and the rest of investment, but excluding costs related to development of projects or to the financing of projects, we see slightly higher than 50 cents per watt in the Spanish projects which use one-axis trackers, and lower than 50 cents per watt in these projects that use fixed tilt systems.
Thank you. And there is no further questions, so please go ahead. Please, speakers, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's all from our side. Thanks, everybody, for attending this call, and we'll keep in touch in approximately 3 months again to report about the second quarter 2019.
Thank you so much. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.